Hello and welcome to Bleed Geek, episode number 89. I'm Mike Earl.
Matt Fowler.
And today, as usual, we'll be discussing... What was that?
I have no idea.
Like a motorcycle in the hallway?
Randy's kitchen's making weird-ass noises.
We will be discussing the tech news of the week and whatever else we feel is relevant to that. Matt is joining us, as it is the first Thursday of the month. And you might be thinking, hey, cool, movies this week. Well, that's not the case.
Nope.
We are taking the movies podcast, well, portion of this podcast, and making it its own.
It's a baby bird that's wings have developed, and it's now ready to soar
weeks,
on its own.
Two episode a month podcast. It's weird. I'm going to call it bi-weekly because that just makes me feel better about it, although it's not. So I feel like I'm lying. It's this internal struggle.
First
I have.
And third.
But... we'll be doing that probably prior to this podcast, the first and third Thursdays of the month. We'll be getting it on iTunes soon, but that may take a couple days. But you can go check out their Facebook page at facebook.com/bleedgeekmovies and see what's happening over there for the latest updates. Go ahead and click the little like. Click, click.
Yes, definitely like.
See what's happening. And then you'll find out what's
like
happening
us,
with us. Today is February 7th, I believe.
Yes.
It's been a pretty slow week as far as news is concerned. There was a Super Bowl last weekend.
There was.
Technically this week, I guess, because it was on Sunday.
Yep.
It depends on how you work a calendar.
Last weekend, though.
So that was pretty big news. I suppose we could start there, even though it's not the top of my list. Do I even have it on my list?
You do have it.
Super Bowl, third
down.
Whatever.
Yeah.
So there was some crazy stuff that happened at the Super Bowl.
Namely a power outage.
There was a power outage. But
there
was
a lot of finger pointing going on.
Yeah. It was a good night for Twitter during the Super Bowl. Apparently 50% of the ads or something had hashtags in them, which is pretty crazy. Actually, I feel like it was a lot more than that, but that's the official stat, I think. But it was a big deal. It was very social. I saw a graph of actual internet usage compared to regular Sundays, and there was a huge dip, which makes sense because most people were on. 3 million people, I think it was, streamed it live via CBS. Seems crazy because you could just watch it on TV. Why would you want to watch any computer unless you're at work and you didn't have a TV, I guess? Like,
or for those people that have left TV behind.
Yeah, you want to watch the Super Bowl, right? The commercials weren't outstanding by any means, as usual. There's a number of websites that have compiled them all. I know Hulu has them and AdScore and whatever. There was no crazy tech one. Everyone in the tech world has made fun of BlackBerry's ad this week because it was bad. There was one Samsung commercial, which was weird. Not as funny as their... Like, even though I hate them because they're always making fun of Apple fans, they are usually pretty funny commercials. But it was just kind of weird with Paul Rudd and...
Yeah.
Seth, whoever his
Rogan.
Name is. Rogan.
I don't know. LeBron James at the end.
Yeah, because he's an expert. Well, LeBron's got... You know, he's LeBron. He does what he wants, right?
Yeah.
But overall, Super Bowl was all right. The power outage was pretty crazy.
It took a lot of the steam out of the game.
Yeah, it was like 35 minutes, I think, they were down.
When it also came right, it was halftime ended, game started, you had the Ravens return the kickoff for a touchdown, and then...
Which has been officially cited as 108 yards now, not 109.
Poor guy.
And
then, I think maybe, you got the kickoff to the 49ers... And I don't think they had run a play yet, and suddenly power outage and game was stopped for 40 minutes.
It was really weird because I don't know why they didn't cut to commercial sooner, but it was like this really weird moment where there was no sound coming through. They just kept panning the video of the stadium, and it was super awkward.
Well, because I think they just had no idea what to do.
They're like, I don't know why they didn't
just immediately
cut to commercial.
Because you couldn't even hear, you know, Phil Simms and Jim Nance up in the booth. So that's why they suddenly cut down to the field guy because he had power and could communicate.
After
with the
a little
fans.
While,
yeah.
Not immediately. For a little while, there was like an outside source, I think, even talking over. But at first, there was just nothing.
And I wonder if like the commercials makes it like the way Super Bowl commercials are so hyped, if that made it difficult for them to just immediately go to commercial break.
Right. That could be too. But You'd think they'd be prepared for
anything. In what was already
a semi-lackluster game.
You know, made it even more difficult. And then it was also like the commercials that came at that time helped to take the steam out. So halftime ends and you get that super long Jeep commercial.
That was like 2 minutes.
Then the
that Dodge power commercial. Comes back
and you get the Farmer Dodge one that was like 8 hours long.
Literally fell asleep just now. Yeah, but
it was crazy. The end of the game was exciting.
They almost came back. Some weird things happened.
Yeah.
Don't want to ruin it in case you DVR'd it.
I think at this point, if they haven't watched it, it sucks.
Yeah, there's that How I Met Your Mother episode where they're all going to watch it the next day, remember?
Yeah, this is past the next day.
They had to handcuff Barney to the... Neither here nor there. Yeah, so the Super Bowl happened. Beyonce caused the power outage. Bane showed up. It was a good time by all. Seriously, what's that crazy noise? Is it the refrigerator? There's some crazy noises going on in here. Typically, there's a ghost that's taking place. I don't even know what's happening right now. Matt's now investigating the hallway. Maybe someone's back here. Huh?
It's over here. It's like...
Oh, we'll just let it go then, and it'll sound like someone's cutting. Maybe they're below us, probably. It's probably the people below cutting into the wall.
No, it's like up here.
Maybe they're on the roof cutting into the ceiling. Maybe they're about to rob the place. Anyways, there's some weird stuff going on. So over the fourth quarter, first quarter, depending on whose count you're taking, there were a lot of PC shipments. And if you include iPads in our tablets in the computer market, there was a lot. It was one in every three PCs shipped was a tablet, basically is what they said. And every one out of every is it one out of three? And half of those were iPads. So there was a ton of tablets sold. Last quarter is the gist of what they said. But it's crazy that one out of every six PCs was an iPad.
Do you think it's actually crazy?
No, it's definitely where the market's going.
Yeah.
I guess. Not crazy, but it is crazy to look at it as a number like that, though. Yeah. Like, think about PCs in general. And
plus, I think the other thing to think about is the fact that a computer is not something that you're repurchasing super regularly,
right?
So I think a lot of people, like for me, buying the iPad was, all right, my computer's still relatively newish, I still have time.
Do you ever use your computer?
Not as much now that it's in the bedroom and not in the living room. Or not in the studio apartment directly across from the TV.
Right.
Because there was no bedroom there. So now, I do all my surfing.
But do you think even if that was the case, would you still not use it?
No, because, the things that I use it for are, word processing. If I'm writing lengthy emails, if I'm working on stuff for work, then I'm doing it on the desktop.
And when you're working, you're on the desktop, is what you're saying.
Yeah. The iPad's more for...
surfing.
General information and...
comic book reading.
Comic book and entertainment, we'll say.
Right.
Because between comic books, then I'm playing Simpsons or Doom or...
Doom?
Doom, yes. Download the original Doom.
It's funny.
It's a great game, except I'm stuck right now. Freaking demon thing keeps killing me. You got friggin' Gatling gun arms.
It's no good.
No.
Hopefully Matt can get past that at some point.
Oh, I will. I will.
There's been a lot of iPad shipments. It seems about right. There's a new app that launched today. We talked about it probably a month or two ago called Mailbox. I should probably check my number. So what their system is a little different. So normally, it's going down. 300, 3,000. $3,099. So basically they've had up on their website for a little while is you could reserve your spot with your phone number, and they sent you a text with a number and a code. And so the app actually launched today, Thursday. And what happens is you could go on there and add your number, or if you just download it, you could just sign up that way, right? And what they do is they say to turn on your notifications, and they'll send you a notification when it's when you're invited in. Or you can look at the number and see, you can see how many people are in front of you and how many people are behind you. There's a number that's always actively changing. So right now in front of me is 3,099 people. But people behind me is 411,466 as of right now. Today I started out about 3,500 back. So I've moved up about 400, almost 500 spots, because I was beyond 3,500 a little bit. But so, I mean, it's moving at a small pace, and it'll exponentially get steadier as they get more people. But they want to test their server because Mailbox is, they want to revolutionize the email experience, essentially, is what their goal is. And the way they're doing that is allowing, so the Sparrow was a huge app that people liked a lot for third-party mail client that used essentially for Gmail, but Sparrow actually supported other accounts as well, like Yahoo, MSN, and any Pop or IMAP account you had. But with Mailbox, it only works with Gmail, but you can have up to 5 accounts. But Sparrow had no push notifications, because the problem became that to allow for push notifications, they would have to set up their own server and essentially reroute your email through them, right? Then that way they notify you, not Google themselves, because Google can, you know, whatever. And so Mailbox is doing that. They've set up their own server, which is the reason they need to... It's funny, too, because Sparrow actually charged for their client, whereas Mailbox is free. And yet they're putting way more into it, because to have this whole network of servers is a lot bigger of a deal. It's a lot harder. So they have their servers, and there's to not overcapacitate the servers that they have, they have to slowly let people in and make sure they can handle the users and scale appropriately. So... But it's just interesting to sit and watch, as I did most of my day today, since I downloaded it, how many people are in front and behind me. When I started out today, also, I will note that I may have only gotten down 400 spots, 500 spots, but when I first started, there was only 200,000 people behind me, and now there's 400,000. So over the course of the day, about 200,000 people have signed up, at least. So that's pretty good. And supposedly at least an iPad and possibly a Mac client are coming in the future. But the whole idea of the way it works is allowing you to push things off till later and to have more easily use a UI that is more intuitive, I guess. There's a video that better explains it than I could, because it shows you how it works as opposed to me trying to explain it. So maybe I'll put that up on our Facebook page tonight.
That sounds like a good idea.
Yeah. But it's a very, very cool looking, very interesting idea. Looks like a very well designed app, and even just the layout of what I'm looking at as I try to wait for my number to come up. And you know, 3,000 seems like a lot, but I suppose when I look at the 411,000 people behind me, it could be a lot worse. And I mean, it's only been out for a day. Yeah. Just think, I mean, a week from now, I didn't look at the App Store at all today, but I wonder if it's like a, because every Thursday is when they update their editor's choice and whatnot. A quickie. No, I don't see it on any of the editor's choice ones. Cause, I mean, that would obviously push it up a lot too. But maybe next week. But I bet they didn't do it because you have to wait. I bet that's why. Oh, see, 3,098 now. The people behind me are just skyrocketing though. So that's Mailbox. Like I said, I'll put the video up on the website. Have you ever used a Dell computer, Matt?
I'm sure at some point I have. It's never been a model I've owned.
But you've heard of them. You know them. You know.
I have not been living in a cardboard box. Come on. Everyone
knows Dell. So Dell went public a long time ago. I'm sure they've been public for a long time. But earlier this week, Michael Dell and a group called Silver Lake went out and purchased all the stocks and whatnot and bought back the company. So it is once again a privately held company. Just kind of crazy. Essentially, just they did
kind of like what Bruce Wayne did in Batman Begins.
You know, it's all pretty complicated. Is that what he says to
yeah.
him? Yeah. I wouldn't expect you to understand. Yeah, essentially that's what happened. Yes. So they bought it back so they could do whatever they want now. They don't have to answer the shareholders. They don't have to answer to a board. They are their own company. I mean, Facebook was to maintain. I don't know if there's more people. I know Michael Dell and Silver Lake as a group are who owns it now. I don't know if there's others too, but to maintain, to be a privately held company, you have to have under 500 owners. Like, otherwise you have to be public, if that makes sense. So who knows what Dell's doing? Maybe they do. I don't know. About.me also went private again. They were a little startup a while ago, where you can make your own profile page, kind of like let's say, okay, you have a Twitter, you have an email, you have a Facebook, you have a WordPress blog, maybe you have a LinkedIn account, you have, you know, whatever else there may be, Foursquare, Instagram, Flickr, PhotoBucket, you know, you have all these accounts, right? How do you find someone? Well, you can set up this account at about.me and set your URL to about.me/mikegirl, let's say. And you can send people to all these accounts. They can always go there to find your stuff. You put a little picture, you put about you. Well, a couple years ago, I think 2 years ago, they sold to AOL. But this week, Tony Conrad, I believe, is the founder. Him and a group of investors in the Valley. I know Crunch Fund was one of them, I believe. They went and purchased their stock back, and so they, again, also became private. So there's a lot of interesting articles talking about whether or not that makes them a startup again, or, like, I don't know. It's kind of weird, because they, like, progressed so well and sold out, like, you know, like every startup stream, you know, yeah. You sell to a big company, right? And then they went and bought it back. So it's kind of weird. But again, it's just something that makes sense, I guess. Maybe they have a lot of things they want to do that AOL is notorious for being a bad company to work for. They do own TechCrunch, and they do own Engadget. And there's rumor that they're looking to buy GDGT or Gadget.com, which is a user review site. But a big part of the reason The Verge is founded is because AOL bought Engadget, and a lot of the people that were working there didn't like AOL trying to tell them how to do things, and so they left and founded The Verge, and now Polygon as well is similar. So yeah, good job them. Sunday, the jailbreak for iPhone, iPad, basically for iOS 6, was released. Matt went and jailbroke his phone and his iPad right away. Actually, I think I saw like 1.7 million people used it in the first, have used it so far. There's quite a few, but there's also like 660 million devices that are on iOS, so it's not a big percent either.
No, I'm not savvy enough to even attempt anything like that. I'm happy with how it is.
We were talking a little before the podcast. You know, we were talking about jailbreaking in general, and you were asking about some stuff. And it's funny. Like, my response was that if you really want to do all that stuff, you could probably just get an Android.
Yeah.
Customize it a little more. But I don't know. A lot of people really like the iPhone and this hardware, and they want to just do a little more with it. But it does come with its risks. Apparently, it broke the weather app when the jailbreak, but now there's been a fix put out for that, I believe. There's seriously a lot of noise out there tonight. I don't know what's going on. It sounded like someone just got knocked out.
Hopefully.
There's probably a fight in the hallway. The Surface Pro we talked about last week because of its memory usage. This week there's a lot of reviews that came out for it. I don't know if there was an embargo came up because it comes out Might have come out today.
I think I'd seen that there was an embargo because somebody was reviewing it and had mentioned,
yeah,
you know, that they had been waiting.
It comes out soon, today or tomorrow, maybe the 9th. I feel like the 9th. Anyway, most of the reviews were kind of lukewarm, I guess is the best way to put it.
Everything I saw a couple times was that might as well just made it a laptop.
Yeah, just people basically said that it's pretty useless as a tablet with a keyboard because you can't actually like set it on your lap even. Like, so it's worse than a laptop in that effect, whereas a laptop you can actually set on your lap. Yeah. They said the software worked for the most part very well, much better than the RT version, because the RT version had a lot of problems, but they fixed a lot of that, I guess. And so overall, like, the hardware was fine, but they said, you know, at the price and for what's happening with it, you might as well just get a laptop instead of a tablet. And there's a lot of like touchscreen laptops. They could have done that easily. I mean, look at the Lenovo Yoga that flips around backwards, and you could still have the tablet part of it and the computer part of it, but it is what it is. Nobody's going to buy one anyway. Nobody I know.
I've seen him like pimped on a lot of TV shows.
Really?
Like, as soon as the Surface came out, especially a lot of CBS shows, like, they were using it on episodes of Hawaii Five-0.
Maybe they have a stake in Microsoft.
Maybe, or maybe they just got some
product placement, I'm sure. Yep. There's been a lot of Windows 8 commercials lately still, but I haven't seen a lot of Surface commercials other than that one original dancing one they had, but
which is really obnoxious.
But I haven't seen, I've seen a lot of Windows 8 commercials, but not, or Windows Phone 8,
mm-hmm.
not, but there's the one with Gwen Stefani, there's the one with, who is the girl in Fantastic Four?
Jessica Alba,
yeah. Will Arnett.
Mm-hmm.
They've
had one, I've seen it at the movies a couple times, or some guys trying to like, oh, hey, look at your camera on your iPhone. Look how shitty that is. And here, check out this Windows phone. And look, it's yellow. Doesn't make you want to buy it? And they're like, yeah, give it to us. And then the guy gives it to him.
Is that how the commercial goes?
Pretty much.
Interesting.
I was like, hey, maybe I should throw my iPhone out and go grab one of those yellow things.
Did you?
No.
No. Shocker. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. Microsoft, Windows 8 has been out for 100 days now. They still have had slower than expected sales, and they still will not release any official numbers on their Surface sales, whatever that tells you. But I think the operating system for a hardware point of view is not as bad. I don't know. I don't know anybody that uses it. So,
well, there's, you know, definite disadvantage coming into a marketplace that's already got two strong
competitors. Well, with the tablets, yeah. But with the, I mean, even just like they own the operating system market already, but people don't seem to want it that much. Like, they're afraid of it, I think. But I think maybe that's with any new Microsoft system. Some people can't wait for it, and some people are afraid of it. So, and Randy's not here to defend Windows right now, so it works out. Moving on from that.
The biggest news.
The biggest news of the week. Monopoly had a Facebook poll.
There was two
polls. Yeah. Do they have the one to get rid of one?
You had to pick which token you wanted to get rid of. And it ended up being the iron, though I had put in my vote for the frickin' thimble. Who wants to be the frickin' thimble?
Who wants to be the iron? I just want to be the car. Women. I just want to be the car every time.
Women want to be
the thimble, man?
No, they want to be the iron.
Oh.
Sexism.
Woo! So anyway, I just always want to be the car. Or sometimes the wheelbarrow.
And go car, dog.
Or the dog.
Or, wheelbarrow's not bad.
Was there a guy on a horse for a while, or was that my imagination? Do you have a guy on a horse with a sword?
I think like Risk. Risk. The box of Risk has some dude on a horse with a sword.
No, Monopoly.
I don't believe so.
I just always want to be the car.
I mean, you could always just bring your own pieces in, too.
Yeah. You could be anything you want, right? Yeah. I just always played with the Star Wars version, so I just always, you know.
Come on, Death Star.
I was always Boba Fett. No, you could buy the Death Star.
Yeah.
The power reactor core. That's what the electric company was.
Nerd!
I don't understand what you... Anyway.
It's all right.
And so the new Monopoly token is...
The cat!
And I saw a lot of jokes that, of course, if you let the internet pick, you're always going to come up with a cat. I don't know what the other options were. Were there options? Did you?
Yeah,
vote?
There were options.
Were they anything good?
Not really.
Like a unicorn? A laptop, maybe?
I may have even voted for the cat.
Yeah? Because they were bad?
Yeah, I don't remember anything.
I don't know why they didn't just keep all the ones they had. Why do they have to go change? Keep up with the times, man.
You know, you gotta make the game fresh. I mean, not that every other random version of Monopoly doesn't keep it fresh. I mean, you got everything from Star Wars to Spider-Man to Simpsons.
There's literally everything.
Mario.
Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings.
On the farm. There's everything. You gotta keep the game fresh.
I'm looking for the new Monopoly piece.
Why? The picture of it?
So your options were helicopter. That's the one I voted for.
Oh, helicopter. That would have been awesome.
Like a wedding ring.
That's stupid.
A guitar.
That's stupid.
Like an old school, like, 60s toy robot.
Well, that would have been fine.
And the cat. So I think I went helicopter. I didn't go cat.
Why not the robot? Are there pictures?
Yeah.
Yeah, I totally picked that robot. I didn't vote. So I didn't care.
So I needed something to compete with the car.
Why is that one a shotgun? What are those ones on the side there?
Like Modern Monopoly Pieces for America.
Rifle.
That's not actual, like, images of what they had. I think that's, like, somebody else's made.
Are they making fun of America? Is that what's happening?
Yeah, so you could have the bong, bottle of Viagra, assault rifle, global warming polar bear.
Is he sad?
Yes. Just sitting on a little patch of ice. Giant soda or the gay wedding cake topper. But that was all from Mad Magazine, apparently.
Mad.
But if I could have voted for global warming polar bear, I would have.
Does he really look sad?
He does. Yeah.
Oh, it's like the Coke bear, but he's not.
All
doesn't
alone
have
on
Coke.
His ice. Because all of his friends have died from
and all the ice
warming.
Is melted, so he's just floating amongst the ocean right now.
He's preparing himself for mentally for his impending demise.
That's no good.
Or his life living in a zoo in captivity.
I would be the polar bear.
He's foobard.
He's like Eeyore for a modern
much,
age.
Yes.
So anyways, moving on from Monopoly and this very sad polar bear. In other gaming news, you see how that's a gaming? It's a good segue. The Ouya has announced that they will be sold at Target, Best Buy, and on Amazon.
Pretty impressive for a Kickstarter.
For $100.
Yeah.
Pretty good price, and they plan to have refreshes yearly. So that's kind of crazy, too, which I'm sure they'll just upgrade, like, the CPU and the RAM and whatnot. Seriously, what is that crazy? I wonder if it's the people below running the garbage disposal?
No, it's coming from up there.
I'm going to call shenanigans. Just leave it alone. There's no need to go check it out. So anyway, yeah. Ooh, yeah.
If you stand, it's there, not there.
Maybe there's a ice dam and they're jackhammering it.
Yeah, because everyone goes and jackhammers ice dams at 9, 10 at night.
Well, I don't control the property management around here.
Go talk to your friends tomorrow in the office and be like, hey. Some weird shit happened above Randy's place.
I wasn't in his house or anything while he's in Montana. Don't worry about that. Anyways. Yeah, they're doing pretty good for their little Kickstarter. I mean, they made a ton of money, so why wouldn't they? But $100 for the new ones, that's pretty respectable, especially since I thought for sure they would go up, because that's what they sold them for when they Kickstarted it. I figured they would go up afterwards, but it's not bad. I put the PS4 down, but I don't think there was really any actual PS4
other
news.
Other than saying that it's
other than
be,
it's coming the 20th, which is 13 days
the
away.
The announcement.
2 weeks.
Yeah.
So not next week, but the week after that, we should probably know more.
Yep.
There was Xbox news, though. Supposedly, the rumor is that, first of all, they're going to have to be online always to be able to play games to stop used games usage, which...
I think it's going to kill them.
Kills them and game. Well, especially with the Ouya, when you're going to get that for $100 and you can play downloaded games from your Android system, and the Apple TV is going to step up their game and you can play your games from your iPhone onto your onto that for $100.
I think you'll still have the hardcore gamers.
Just like PC. How many people play games on PCs? It's a lot smaller market.
Yeah. And, you know, maybe they lose out even more now, you know, to that. But for me, most of the games I buy are used.
Well, it's not even that.
I can't justify paying $60 for a video game.
Or you take the games you have bought, go sell them to buy a new game.
Because, again, I mean, how many of my modern era games do I play repeatedly?
Right.
Like, we've been talking tonight about, like, some of the old school Nintendo games that you play.
Right.
And I think that's a little different, too, because there's a nostalgia factor to
those. Totally.
But those were also more pick-up-and-play type games. You know, you could just sit down and play, you know, an hour of Mario, and it was like, oh, I didn't beat the game right now, but that's cool.
Even Mario 3, when I can't even save it, I could pick up that and play it for an hour, and I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
I can't even save the game on that. Which seems crazy, but...
So, I don't like that at all. And at the same time, then there are those games or those franchises that I like enough that a new one comes out, I will go pay the money for it. But outside of that, they, especially like, are you going to go and try some random game? What is this going to do to renting?
Well, kill renting.
So now you you can't go try out a game before you buy it.
I'm not going to say it'll kill GameStop, but it's certainly going to hurt them a lot.
Oh, well, I mean... It's not going to immediately kill them, but down the road.
Yeah. Or
they're done for.
Is it just GameStop? What else is there anymore?
That's really the one left.
What were the other ones before?
Funko Land was the original.
Right. I remember that's where I got my Super Nintendo. GameStop, EB Games? EB?
I think that
Electronics
was more...
Electronics Boutique? Game Crazy.
Game Crazy, yep. And
they
I
were,
think those
were
are
with
still
Hollywood,
around a little bit.
They were with
bit.
Hollywood
yeah.
Video. But. And also, rumored to be coming with the Xbox is a much better Siri-like voice integration. Which they already do a lot of stuff with the Kinect that you can do right now with the current Xbox.
Yeah.
So, but I could see like maybe interaction in games, or especially for kids' games. Like I could see that being a huge thing. Which is kind of what they demoed last year at CES, not this year, but last year when they did the Kinect stuff. They had like a Sesame Street game where the kid was interacting and whatnot.
Are you going to go get one for Owen?
No, I don't even have a Kinect. I do have I have a 360, but I don't have a Kinect. I have considered it because they do some cool stuff with it, but I don't play enough that it makes it worth it for me. I mean, I would like to play that Star Wars game and, you know, use the Force and stuff.
The one where you could dance with Han Solo?
No, not that one. Although maybe that's a part of the same game.
I think it's
because
the same.
It's like
it's
a bunch of, it's kind of
yeah,
like a
Kinect
Mario
Star
Party.
Wars, yeah.
It's like a Mario
you get
Party
to dance
type
with Han
situation.
Solo.
I'm not going to dance with Han
I
Solo.
I think you need to go and get this so you can dance with Han Solo.
I think you need to dance with Han Solo.
I will come over and dance with Han Solo if you get it.
Anyways. Matt just wants to dance with Han Solo. He just wants to dance with somebody.
Of course. Dance with somebody.
There you go.
Yeah. Was that Whitney Houston?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now she's dead. Yeah. So that's the big gaming news of the week. This weekend Twitter was hacked, supposedly. I think it was really Friday. 250,000 accounts, which seems like a lot, but on the same token, when they have like 60 million to 100 million users or more, maybe 200 million something. We're near, you know, it's a lot.
Yeah.
A quarter of a million really isn't that big. But they did let everybody know that everyone that was affected, got an email, and they had to change their password. And I think they actually stopped the hack midway, so they caught it while it was happening. So, and they were open about it, so that's good. I did really the last bit of news I have. There's a company called Freedom Pop. We may have talked about them a couple times before, but they're kind of trying to disrupt broadband service by essentially giving it away. You can get for free like a little Wi-Fi card. You have to pay $100. I said it was for free, but it is and it isn't, right? So, like, it's a damage deposit for the box, basically, because they're sending you, like, a little mobile hotspot, and it's $100 a deposit. So, essentially, if you return it, you should get it back at some point. And I don't think there's a contract. And you get, like, 2 gigs of internet a month for free. And then they just charge you if you go over that. Or you can buy you can just get a USB dongle thing. And I think that's 50. And they have a clip coming out for the iPad that's shipping soon, supposedly, that like clips on and you can share that with 5 different people. But what they're going to do apparently is if you don't use all your data, you're going to be able to share it socially. Like, so let's say I had 2 gigs and I only used a gig this month, but you're like about to run out. I could share like a half a gig that I have left with you.
Could you charge?
Like, could I say, hey, give me $5. Yeah. I'll give you half a gig. I mean, I'm sure you could say that on the side and you could say that to me, but I don't think they'll let you. Because then you're just, their whole point is they want to disrupt what DSL as we know it and paying for internet. Kind of like what Google's doing, but a totally different way to do it. But they're an interesting company, and I've really kind of been watching them, and they're doing a lot of crazy things. I don't think they're going to have a huge effect because I don't think a lot of people know about them, but you never know.
You'd be the first to get the Freedom Hub Burst for your home. Shipping in 2013.
Yeah, so they're working on home hubs. I think they're working on a phone service, too.
They have 4G for iPod Touch.
And then they're talking about some cases that we're going to have it built in, the clip, and then the MiFi that Verizon has. It's kind of like the same thing, and then the USB dongle. I don't know. It's interesting.
Yeah.
I would totally do it if I didn't, like, I've thought about doing it anyway. Just to always have internet for my iPad. You know, like when you go places. Because it kind of works off a Sprint. I know it works off the Sprint network somehow. Or via Sprint. So you have to have, if you have Sprint coverage, essentially, is how you know if you'll have coverage. But just paying $100 just to have the thing, it still seems like a lot up front. Even 50. Because 50 would only give me my computer, and really I want it for my iPad, so. One of those things. What are you going to do? And it was in beta, and I got an invite early, but I decided, because I didn't want to pay for it, that I haven't used it yet. I don't know if it's still in beta where you have to sign up and wait.
It says beta. It looked like the iPod one was ready to go, but the in-home one isn't done yet.
Yeah. So. But it's an interesting little startup. It's interesting to see what they've been doing. So some crazy stuff. But I think that pretty much covers anything. There wasn't, like I said, it wasn't a huge week for news, so we'll see what happens in the coming weeks. And again, if you're missing your movies, hopefully it'll be up in a couple days, and you can check out, for updates, go to facebook.com/bleedgeekmovies to find out more. And you can follow Bleed Geek on Facebook at facebook.com/bleedgeek. You can follow us on Twitter at Bleed Geek. Give us a call at 406-79-GEEKS, which is 406-794-3357. You can email us at fans@bleedgeek.com. You could also follow us individually on Twitter. I am at Mike037.
And I am at Bleed Geek Movies.
Is that what your official statement is now?
Yep.
And you can follow Randy at the Crandall with 2 L's or Josh at the Nyman. And by the way, in case you live under a rock, the Ravens won.
Woohoo!
But that is our show for this week. Come back next Thursday, approximately 8 p.m. Let's see what's happening. But we thank you for listening. I'm Mike Earl.
Matt Fowler.
Have a good night.